You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to tonight's live broadcast of TPC, ladies and gentlemen. This is our fourth show of the new year already. This year, you've heard from such program mainstays as Nick Griffin, Ramsey Paul, Brad Griffin, no relation to the former member of European Parliament, Mark Weber, Peter Brimlow, and Jared Taylor last week, among others. Tonight, we have for you a fantastic young man who is making his debut appearance on the broadcast. Is America ready for white identity politics? That's a question we're going to pose to Robert Wallace, who recently wrote a statistic-based article on the topic. Let me introduce you a little bit further to our debut guest this evening. Robert Wallace is the 30-year-old community development director of Dr. Greg Johnson's Countercurrents. Like a Spartan, he spent the last 6 years surviving the anti-white wilderness of academia and conservative movement politics, hardening himself for the struggle to save our people. He has 3 years' experience as a development officer and executive. In 2021, he managed a financial portfolio at a mainstream nonprofit, achieving a 5-to-1 return on investment. He voluntarily left what would have been a life of comfort out of sense of duty to our people. That duty is his first principle now and always. We welcome him to the show. Robert Wallace, how are you?
Thank you, James. It's a tremendous honor to be here, sir. A longtime supporter and listener, of course, you know, which is inescapable if you are a pro-white advocate. So thank you, James.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. It has been indeed my pleasure to get to know you a little bit better this week. I'm looking forward to continued collaborations for quite a long time. Well, let's get right into that article. I posed it as a question: is America ready for white identity politics? This is the piece that has become has been making the rounds quite a bit that you wrote for Countercurrents, but you didn't write it as a question. Your headline was a declarative statement: America is ready for white identity politics. What were your findings?
Yes, sir. Well, let's just run through the data here first. The University of Virginia poll, 85% of Republicans are concerned about anti-white discrimination. Immigration is the top concern. So when people say we're losing America, they don't mean that we're losing it to the wind. They mean that we're losing it to other people. That's what that means. So 85% extremely concerned about anti-white discrimination. Immigration is the top concern. That's 85% of Republicans. That is a University of Virginia poll. The University of Chicago poll, 75% of the 21 million Americans who sympathize with the January 6th protesters' top political concern is the Great Replacement. And that is the term that they use in this University of Chicago study. So that amounts to over 15 million people. That is the top concern that they have, the Great Replacement. The third study is Duke political scientist Ashley Giardina. She drew on data from the American National Election Study surveys to find that about 30 to 40% of white Americans say that white identity is important to them. There's a 538 article about how the rise of white identity politics explains the fight over critical race theory. Now, we all take 538 with a grain of salt, but they included lots of studies and polls within the bulk of this article. The final poll is a Newsweek poll, and that is 23% of Republican men have a favorable view of white nationalism, and about 15% of Democratic men have a favorable view of white nationalism. It might be some of those holdouts in the South, James. Now, why is this article important? Is it because, look at me, Robert Wallace, I'm so wonderful? No, I didn't put my life on the line and give up the comfort and security I had in the Conservatism Inc. behemoth to work in this movement and to engage in school child behavior like that. So now I don't have an axe to grind with anybody, but I'm new, and I want to make that clear and my friends will serve as references to my character, my friends in this movement. This article is important because it was a viral article with a positive message, and it accelerates our progress as a pro-white political movement. Google banned it right away, but it was appearing at the very top of America is Ready searches, white identity searches, and white identity politics searches. And as I wrote in the follow-up article, which is also on Countercurrents, powerful people do not censor information they don't feel threatened by. Now, briefly, James, here are the three reasons why this article is very important and why I'm calling on your audience to share this article as much as you can. The first reason is that it gives white identity politics, the vocabulary term, a good reputation. It reverses the narrative people are used to hearing about white identity politics, which, of course, is cynically crafted by people who consider white people as a group to be their mortal enemies. This article became the authoritative source on white identity over CNN, Vox, and 538. And I can leave it there. Nothing else needs to be said. And they can't have that, James. They can't have that. The second reason is that it proves we can win and therefore inspires people to lend their support and donate. People, I have a strong background in this area. People are not inclined to support losing or needy causes. This article proves with multiple studies that pro-whites can achieve their ambitions. And our only internal barrier to success, as far as those ambitions are concerned, is a lack of resources. That's how I see it. I have given this careful thought, and I have worked in the inside of the movement now for several months. This article will work to inspire people to lend their support and donate. So that's the second reason. The third reason is that the anti-white establishment does not want this article landing on pollsters' desks. Outsider Republican candidates will be tempted by the article to run a pro-white campaign. And Reagan did this on the communism issue. Trump did this on the immigration issue. And those were political revolutions in terms of issue realignment. And now it is white identity's turn. It is white identity's turn now. I can talk about the Policy Institute and where this goes a little bit later, James, that Greg and I are working on building a policy institute that we want to become a pro-white lobby. And we can talk about that towards the end of the show because, you know, this article is not a great article, you know, in of itself. It's an article because it serves as a vehicle to gather resources to support our institutions. The last thing I'll say is the surge in white identity is due primarily to the replacement immigration policies. Replacement is not stopping. And this is according to the studies, that it's due to the Great Replacement. And therefore, the rise of white identity is not stopping either. It will continue to spread, and it will continue to become more aggressive. That is inevitable. Robert,
that is a fantastic opening salvo. We're coming up to our first break. I would just like to double down on a couple of things he said very quickly as we head into this first break, and that is we always need to operate from a position of strength. People do not support needy causes. We have a position of strength upon which we can lean. We'll be talking more about that with Robert Wallace of Countercurrents. America is ready for white identity politics. That's the article that is the feature of this hour. Retweet it by going to my handle. We'll be right back.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones. Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest this hour is a gentleman who is making his first appearance on this program, the first of, I anticipate, more to come. He is Robert Wallace with Countercurrents. America is ready for white identity politics. The point I was making right before the last break is that, first of all, I just put up a tweet making mention of the fact that Robert is our guest this hour, so be sure to spread that around. But if you go a couple of entries below that, you will find this very article, which begins with Robert writing, "American patriots are hungry for white identity politics. It was inevitable. White nations are being wrecked by non-whites acting as tribal blocs. Whites are being attacked as a tribal bloc. Eventually, whites will start fighting back as a tribal bloc." Now, he goes on to cite several polls. This has been a recurring theme on this program for about the past 12 months. These polls started to come out shortly after Biden's inauguration last January. We have had Brad Griffin on to talk about them. We've talked about them with other people as well. But in this piece, Robert cites the University of Virginia poll, a University of Chicago poll, as he mentioned, 538, Newsweek, Pew has had one, and there have been others. Now, normally we would say don't put too much stock into a poll, but when it's a poll on a question such as this, and the poll runs so contrary to their narrative and is so favorable to our positions and backs up, I might add, anecdotal evidence that we have picked up living our lives in the trenches, as it were, that's something that makes you want to stand up and take note and invest quite a deal of hope in. So, Robert, with that being said, just to reset the table, let's go back to you. I know you had a couple of parting shots to make.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Continuing on with what you were saying in the first segment, and also I want to know a little bit more about this policy institute that you and Greg are working on.
Sure. Well, I just wanted to conclude by saying, James, is that the article, America's Ready for White Identity Politics, you can find it if you're not on Google, if you type in the full thing. This article and its censorship is not about me. It is about you. It is about shutting down an appeal that makes white identity politics viable. And white identity politics is a politics that, of course, works for you, the benefit of you, your children, and your people more possible. That is why they censored this article. You think about it like you think of Thomas Paine's Common Sense. This is the type of article that that is. So please share it widely, because we will win, just like our revolutionary ancestors, if you want to go back to the Thomas Paine comparison, through guerrilla actions like this. Because we're outmanned and outgunned for now, and so we need to be coordinated. We need to be. We have solidarity with one another. So please spread the article. Now, I'd just like to very briefly, James, thank Dr. Greg Johnson. And I gave Greg a raw diamond, and as an editor, he crafted it into a beautiful gem. You know, as he has a tendency of doing at the Mighty Countercurrents, and also our mutual friend Kay. We love Kay. James and I love Kay. Thank you, Kay, for connecting me with James. And thank you to Chris Roberts, Kevin Deanna, of course, Mr. Taylor, for republishing the article on American Renaissance, because this has allowed the article to recover quite substantially from the censorship it had suffered by Wednesday. And they have a great forum discussion for the article going on at Gamer Uprising as well. And I think, I don't know who he is beyond the pseudonym, but the Big Volbowski. He started the thread. I've never had a Gamer Uprising account, but thank you, brother. I notice and I'm grateful to you. So, James, I believe it is appropriate to conclude my remarks with that statement of gratitude to those who have the courage to support this article.
Turn that on, Keith. Turn that bad boy on.
Back on. Okay. Okay. Mr. Wallace, this is Keith Alexander. Let me ask you, had you heard about the incident at the Mississippi State Legislature yesterday?
I have not. No, tell me about that, Keith.
Well, a white Republican senator has introduced a bill to prohibit the teaching of critical race theory or anything that is negative towards people, white people, and all people. In Mississippi's public schools. And the black delegation, all Democrats, when they found out that they were not going to shelve it out of some sense of white guilt, all gathered together and marched out of the legislature in a really remarkable show of racial solidarity.
Mm-hmm.
The other side doesn't have any problem with racial solidarity. How did white people manage to put themselves in a unique situation among all people of being people that can't have a sense of racial solidarity?
Yes. Well, I mean, our enemies are very clever. They know to hack into our system, if you want to put it like that. Whites, the individualism and trust of whites is what makes white society so pleasant. But if somebody hacks into that and manipulates it for their own cynical ethnic purposes, then that is what happens. And our enemies are very capable. They are, our enemies are a formidable enemy. And that's what's happened.
Well, let me press this a little bit further. You were talking about the Great Replacement. They want to replace who? They want to replace us.
Yes.
Whites. Why have we been selected for special treatment? What is behind it? What is the plan?
Well, I believe it's because, you know, first of all, whites have been throughout history the principal threat to the enemy, that was a specific enemy that we are facing. So that is first. And we've also had many successful rebellions and revolts and revolutions. And so they have to demoralize us and they have to censor us as well. Because, you know, about half of whites in this country are brainwashed, but the other half are very not brainwashed. They have the right instincts on these things. We just have to smash through the censorship barriers there, and we can do that. We can absolutely do that and reach them on a consistent basis, and they will come over to our side. I promise you that. And it's not only because they'll appreciate what we have to say, it is because our enemies will show their hands. They will take their mask off when we come out with our positive, peaceful, pro-white message. They will see what the enemy really is, and they will side with us. And that's what happened with Trump as well. The moderate Republicans were opposed to Trump at the beginning, but the enemy took its mask off, and they sided with Trump. because they saw the enemy for what it really was. And that is what will happen as far as our politics are concerned as well.
Well, let me put it this bluntly. Why do they want to replace us, and who is it that wants us replaced?
Well, I think we all know the answer to that question here. We all know the answer to that question, Keith.
You know, there are a lot of people that don't.
Well, why don't you tell us, Keith, if you've got the answer? I can see you clamoring to say it. We haven't heard it since last week when you were on.
The thing is, you know, you can't defeat an enemy that you're afraid to name.
I'm not afraid to name them. Of course, the enemy is Jewish power, all right? Now, Greg speaks well on this. He says it's not the only enemy we have, but it is the principal enemy. And yes,
essential ingredient.
This is a recurring thing that comes up so often on this program. And while you're both right, of course, white apathy is something that I have to bring up.
Right.
White men.
Yes.
This is, I know another good friend is listening who quite rightly told me you don't go into war by saying blame us first, but it is in fact our men who dropped the ball and allowed so many of these bad actors to gain the amount of power and influence that they have over us.
Correct.
And if anybody is going to save ourselves, it's going to be our people. So our people created a problem, our people need to solve the problem, and nobody's going to do it but us. Now, I want to refocus this entire conversation back to the topic at hand, which is the question, is America ready for white identity politics? Our guest, Robert Wallace, says yes. We'll talk more about that, and specifically and exclusively that, when we come back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land, you're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The FDA has expanded its authorization of the antiviral drug remdesivir to some COVID-19 outpatients. The antiviral drug has been approved for patients age 12 and older who weigh at least 88 pounds with a positive COVID-19 test results. The FDA also revised the emergency use authorization for the drug to include pediatric patients under the age of 12 who are also experiencing mild symptoms. The actions will allow the patients to receive remdesivir through intravenous infusion for a total of 3 days. The FDA said while these actions provide another treatment option to reduce risk of hospitalization, remdesivir is not a substitute for vaccination. They stressed that vaccination remains the strongest preventative measure against COVID-19. This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day. Hey, friends, it's John and Chelsea Jubilee, Energized Health, and we got some good news. The good news is you still can succeed, even though you already failed. I know you did. You made a New Year's resolution this year, like millions of other Americans, and guess what? You already jumped off that wagon. Hey, don't feel bad, but make a change. Make a change. Let's change that resolution to a revolution, and let's get on it with Energize Health. You can still lose that fat, reverse that high blood pressure, high cholesterol, medical conditions that you have. You just have to take a simple action step. Hey, we're going to be your master coaches. Log on today to energizehealth.com, energizehealth.com. John and Chelsea Jubilee, that's right. We're going to be your personal coach. Log on today, energizehealth.com.
There's an update in the case of Gabby Petito, who was found dead in September in a national park in Wyoming. The FBI office in Denver said a notebook found near the remains of Gabby Petito's boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, shows an admission by Laundrie that he was responsible for her death. Laundrie immediately became the prime suspect. His body was found in October, and authorities say he killed himself. At least one person was injured in a four-vehicle crash in Los Angeles Friday, including a vehicle driven by Arnold Schwarzenegger. The actor and former California governor wasn't injured. Details are still emerging on what caused the crash. Authorities say the impact was so severe that the airbags in Schwarzenegger's SUV were released. Police say alcohol and drugs were not involved in the collision. So far, no one has been charged in the incident. You're listening to USA Radio News.
welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, America is ready for white identity politics. That's the article by Robert Wallace. And in recent just weeks now, Robert, we have seen any number of establishment Republican politicians mentioning the W word. This is something you would have never seen even as recently as Trump's first term. Just to tell you how recent an evolution this is, we made mention of the fact that Ron DeSantis had called the Waukesha, Wisconsin Christmas parade incident, a anti-white attack. Marjorie Taylor Greene has talked about white men being subjected to victimization. Even Donald Trump, for the first time, to my knowledge, used the word white when saying whites are being forced to the back of the line in a recent speech just a few days ago. So prominent politicians now identifying whites as a separate base with unique group interests and concerns is a growing trend. Now, whether or not they are sincere is irrelevant for now. It's a good thing for us that white identity is being reinforced. It seems as though the GOP is rushing to catch up to its base on this question, and your poll, the polls you cited, the data you submitted seems to reinforce that. Now, my theory on the political spectrum is this. I've said this many, many times over the years, but I'll say it again because there's always someone tuning in for the first time, and that is that there are very few people on either side of the ideological spectrum that have inflexible beliefs. Most people are in the middle, and most people will take that path of least resistance, whatever is trendy, fashionable, and in vogue. Now, of course, institutions set these trends, and it's important for us to recapture them, but the point is that things change quickly, and it doesn't necessarily matter if our eventual proponents, those who will one day amplify our message and execute our agenda, are true believers. I mean, do you think that everybody who works in corporate America is completely in the tank for BLM and Antifa? Hell no. Most people just do what's easiest and most immediately expedient. That's why we're so wonderfully different. But I'll get to the question for you, Robert.
Also not so wonderfully different. You know, and I think that you get a lot more pushback from other groups, possibly.
Well, I mean, we have the point I guess I'm trying to make is that we have stoked those of us in this cause. I mean, here on this radio program, we've been stoking the embers for almost 20 years. But in the last 5 years, there is no doubt that the climate seems to be changing for whatever reason or a myriad of reasons. Something just feels different now. Something seems to be stirring, and it's not manifest yet, but conditions seem to be becoming more favorable. And as you mentioned, Robert, poll after poll now offering data to back that up. And this, by the way, is with every institution of power, government, media, churches, academia, etc., all arrayed against us. So I think that's something to remember. What's happening is taking place in spite of their best efforts to suppress and censor such healthy thinking. So here's the question, Robert. How do things get nudged to the next level of this evolution?
Well, that's such an important point, though, James, is the point that I make as far as this argument in this article is concerned, that this awareness has developed without any kind of powerful advocacy presence for whites. Now, what that tells you is just how flammable this is as a political issue. Now, as far as the next step is concerned, we have to overcome the censorship barrier that we face, period. And we have to do that. Now, that must be done. We might get a lucky break, James, through a sort of outsider political candidate that I alluded to in my sort of opening monologue there. But we can't rely on that. If someone is going to save our people, it is going to be us. It is going to be our movement. Now, how do we overcome, circumvent the censorship barrier? Well, I have some very strong ideas for that. And that we have some very strong ideas for that. And I will be willing to share those privately with you. And trust me, your supporters will know what they are when we start to use these strategies. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, Robert Keith again.
Now, just to clarify very briefly, the barrier that we face externally is censorship. The internal barrier is a lack of resources. And so that really needs to be the focus of our efforts, I think, over the next few years, is gathering resources to our institutions. And we've reached a critical mass of awareness where that is very possible. Very possible. So I'll leave it
well,
at that.
Well, the 800-pound gorilla in the living room is media control. That's how white people lost the civil rights movement and every other radical egalitarian movement over the past 70 years that has cropped up in America. How can we manage or how can we deal with our enemy being in control of the media? Or do we have to? Is there another strategy that we can use to outflank them?
Well, again, I don't want to share my strategy, but I may as well go ahead and do it now that you put me on the spot. I'm just kidding. look, we have to use unconventional methods to spread our message now, and I'm referring to direct mail. Okay, now I'm going to reveal some of the methods. Direct mail is a big one. Direct mail is very, very expensive, though, and it'll be a little bit more difficult for us still because we don't know exactly where our supporters are and how committed they are. The Policy Institute will research that, though. We want to know how committed people are and where they are. You know, where is this type of politics viable? That's one of the things the Policy Institute will do. But there are also data brokers for political parties with emails, phone numbers, etc. Now we might be able to engage in big email blasts and text blasts to promote our institutions. You know, promoting our message is one thing, but message doesn't get you anywhere by itself. You need an institution that is going to impose the will of people who are pro-white for the policies we need to secure our future.
Now, I agree that we're going to have to get our some power, get some traction. It is a very volatile time right now in American politics. I think it was a stroke of immense good luck that Trump wasn't reelected president in 2020, because now the left has come in and just basically put on a freak show to tell everybody just how radical and how off the chain they are. And I think that's what is driving this. And I've heard people say, you know, well, who are our leaders going to be? Well, you know, that will take care of itself. The main thing is that white people need to have that aha moment where the light bulb goes off over their head and they realize what has happened to them over the past 70 years.
Yes. Well, the left is what radicalizes, if we want to use that term, quote, radicalizes, unquote, patriotic Americans. And that is through the immigration policies. And that is also through the anti-white cultural policies like critical race theory and, of course, the constant barrage of anti-white propaganda that you get from social media and Netflix and television, cable. And so, yes, it is the left that has brought patriotic white people to this point. And they do not, as I said in the first article, they don't have the self-control or foresight to stop that. The anti-white propaganda, maybe they'll be smart to moderate that, but the great replacement policies are not stopping. And the great replacement immigration policies are the number one factor as far as the rise and also the intensification of white identity.
I think that about half of the Democratic Party is totally off the chain. And I don't think
that's a conservative estimate.
Right. And as a result, because of that, they're going to do more for us than we could do through the Republican Party right now. Is there a political way out of the woods for us, Robert, or is it going to have to be done in another way?
That's a good question.
Absolutely, there's a political. But go ahead.
Peter Brimelow has said this recently, too. He wants more people to run for office. So, I mean, you know, the idea that Mr. Smith goes to Washington and we can clean it up that way, that seems to have long since passed. But you think that there is still some good in conventional politics, Robert?
Yes, I do, James. Now, people think of this in the wrong way. They think, well, we're going to have a third party or we're going to have some, you know, civil rights type activist movement. Well, that, of course, as you know, James, that's not how the civil rights movement actually worked. The civil rights movement had powerful institutions that were lobbying
as
on
allies.
Their behalf. Political institutions explicitly, but also the media and also tons of money, as we know. What we need, and there is a political solution, but the approach that we need to follow is by building a powerful lobby. And there are several reasons for this that I can go into a little bit later if you would like me to. But we need an institutional approach to political influence, and we need to build that institution within our movement. We can't rely on anybody else to do that for us. Now, the reason this could work is because we have reached a critical mass of awareness and support that allows us to gather support for such an explicitly pro-white institution. It would be like an NRA for white people. Okay, that's what we need.
I was looking at the clock. I said, okay, well, two segments down. We still have half this hour to go. There's plenty of time still to cultivate what needs to be said here this hour with Robert Wallace. But no, three segments down, one to go. We'll try to bring this all into sharp focus. I've got some a couple of more observations that I'd like to share with Robert that I think will tie this whole hour in together quite nicely. One more segment with Robert Wallace of Countercurrents next.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
I think that my family has always had a big influence on me for not smoking because since I was little, I was taught that smoking was wrong.
Recent studies indicate that smoking among teens often leads to the use of alcohol and other drugs.
I think having faith in God is a big part in it because the way I was raised has helped to avoid smoking.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com, AmericaFirst.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Fascinating and very fast-paced discussion taking place right now here on TPC with Robert Wallace. Be sure to go to our Twitter account at James Edwards TPC so you can follow Robert and his work, and we look forward to hearing much more from him in the future. I have a few parting shots this hour that I want to get to, so I'm just going to go ahead and shoot my shot right now. And then we'll let Robert respond. We'll give Keith the final word as well. Still much more to come here on TPC tonight as well. Of course, as you know, the second and third hour is still forthcoming. But speaking of these polls, Jared Taylor was back on the show last week, and American Renaissance had issued a poll that asked many of these same questions last fall, and their findings mirrored that of the establishment. I thought that was interesting. But in my talk with Jared last week, I was asking him about Glenn Youngkin. Jared went to the inauguration of Governor Youngkin. Now, this is a guy who, as I mentioned, was the unintended recipient of white backlash politics, and he got up there and did exactly what you would expect a Tea Party conservative type to do. And with his inauguration, as Jared put it, more blacks on the stage than there were in the crowd and things like that. The Republican establishment will always seek to be lazy and appease its base with brand X as opposed to the genuine article. But that the GOP base, though, increasingly wants someone who perhaps will be their racial partisan. I think many were hoping that Trump might be something of the sort. I think the one thing Trump did do was show that you can be constantly attacked by being called all of these things, racist and white supremacist and neo-Nazi and whatever, and you can withstand it. And he showed people that they can stand up to it. I think that was probably his greatest gift that he gave the American public. Now, again, going back to these polls, 87% of Trump voters feel threatened by anti-white discrimination. 64% of Trump voters say that their race is extremely, very, or somewhat important to their sense of identity. Now, if you're talking, Robert, purely a numbers-driven game, you've got enough to win with right there, right now. 87% or 64% of Trump voters is tens of millions of people, okay? And these people are going to be a lot more dedicated to their beliefs because they've had to suffer for them. And no amount of hysterics from the establishment media is going to change what's happening. In fact, it will only further solidify it. As I told Brimelow last week, they're writing these stories for one another now, it seems. They've spent their ordnance with Middle America, calling everything and everyone to the right of Comrade Stalin a racist or a white supremacist. And it's now to the point where the default position of tens of millions of Americans is to do or believe exactly the opposite of what they're told. So I guess the question then becomes, Robert, how do you activate these people who are increasingly fundamentally coming to understand things as we understand and see them, but how do you activate them while they're still comfortable? I think there is still too much comfort and too much luxury and too much relative safety in America for whites to activate right now, although ideologically they are coming our way, and that's a good thing, and that is a necessary first step.
Well, I'm not sure, James. You know, people use the cliche, like, communism has never been tried, you know? Well, it is actually true about pro-white identity politics, particularly in the current moment. You could say, as far as being inconvenient, it was very inconvenient for people to support Trump. If people lost friends and relationships with family members over that, I would say don't underestimate the patriotism of the American people. They need to hear our message. We need to break out into the light, and we need to show our faces. And we need to become leaders. We are their natural leaders, and they're waiting for us. And so, again, I go back to the only barrier, in my opinion, is the censorship barrier. And the bottom line about that, to be very blunt, is that we need a great deal more of investment to get around that. That's the number one thing.
Well, we need that, and we need a battalion of lawyers like the National Lawyers Guild and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, which they had at the ready during the Civil Rights.
Money will buy you all those. Money will buy you all those nice things, Keith. Yeah.
And stacks of money for bail and things like that. Let me ask you this: should we actively try to create our own version within the Republican Party of the Squad? They're few in number, but they seem to be driving the Democratic agenda. What do you think?
Well, sure. I mean, we can try, but it's just very difficult to make any headway with the Republican Party. We cannot rely on them whatsoever. Now, I've worked in the inside of the conservative movement, and I think I heard somebody call them right-wing Antifa, and I think that there's a fundamental amount of truth to that description. They're very hostile. They're very hostile to us. They see themselves consciously, and I'm telling you this from firsthand experience, they see themselves consciously as gatekeepers to take patriotic Americans away from our type of nationalism to their type of pseudo-oppositional nonsense. That they do this consciously.
Well, see, that was neoconservatism. Now, neoconservatism was a takeover.
Sure, but I'll conclude by saying that there are There's some of these edgier Republicans that are coming out. And like I said, I think at the beginning is that they don't want the America is ready for white identity politics to land on political consultants' desks. Because if they're running an outsider underdog candidate and they need a winning issue that's going to fire up the Republican base, they might just do that. We can't rely on that, but there is a possibility of that. And I think there's an increasingly strong possibility of that, as we hope for the best. But in the meantime, we need to build our own institution. And I want to say very clearly as well, because I said this before, I want to talk about why the institutional approach is positive and not why other approaches are bad. Because the activists in our movement are wonderful. I support my brothers and sisters. They're doing that. I love them. And what they do is very valuable as well. But I think as far as the principal vehicle to achieving the political aims that we have, we need to build this institution, what I call an NRA for patriotic white Americans.
Well, that's true enough. But, you know, the squad, even though there's a lot of dissatisfaction in the ranks of the Democratic mainstream to them, nobody seems to be willing to take them on. I don't think that a Republican equivalent would get that same type of kid glove treatment. You know, but this is a – would you agree with me that this upcoming election in November of this year is a golden opportunity that we just don't need to pass on to get people that think like us elected as congressmen, as senators, or as state legislators throughout the nation?
Yes. Well, again, I think there needs to be a breakthrough for some political consultant that's got the guts to run on this issue needs to normalize white identity politics within the Republican Party. And you find a lot of support in doing that.
That's the thing, Robert. That's what I was touching on with Jared last week, is that I don't know if it can be any of us who have already been so outspoken, maybe somebody with a more virginal background with regards to these politics, but running, you know, maybe a Jared Taylor, just not named Jared Taylor, something like that. I wonder in certain districts if they wouldn't just be eating out of his hands. I wonder how implicit or how easily the implicit whiteness can become explicit if they have a leader. Everybody wants to be led. Even men want to be led. And so I wonder if the right candidate comes along who has the guts to stand up to the slings and arrows, how quickly and how readily this ever-ripening citizenry is with regards to this polling data would say, hey, you know, now we've got the cover. You will take off the mask, too. This is what we want.
Yes, I agree, James. There's a lot of pressure building on this dam. Right? We need a few cracks in that dam and the flood will come. And I absolutely agree with that. And you can be guaranteed, James, that there are very capable men out there that have this political ambition. They need to be well-funded, and they need to have a great team that's going to craft a pro-white message that is not too, too far out there to alienate people, because again, it is true, and I'll be clear about this, that only 23% of white Republican males support white nationalism.
Okay? Yeah, but I gotta say, Robert,
that's not even close. But my point is, James, that's not even close to the 85% of Republicans that are pro-white, fundamentally pro-white. So just to be clear there.
Well, even 23% of Republican men, you're still talking millions upon millions of people. That's certainly a lot more than are supporting the entire collective now. So those people are out there. Those people are, you know, the opportunity for growth in our ranks is exponential right now. The numbers are there. The people are there. It's not about going out and winning people over. They're ready to be gotten. It's just a matter of pulling them in.
Yeah, and you got to be pro-white, James, or it's all just a waste of time. As well, you need to be explicitly pro-white. Now, what I say about the white nationalism thing is this. People are afraid of that term. But if you say, well, white nationalism is perfectly morally and intellectually defensible, and here's why, and you have that opportunity to explain to them what it actually is, they'll say, oh, you know, I'm a white nationalist too.
Hey, well,
so there's that as well.
Public opinion is, well, you're so right. And public opinion is so fickle, and it can change on a dime with the right messaging, the right packaging, and the right presentation, and the right person, the right man.
Yes. And I go back to, James, that there will be an intensification of white identity as the replacement continues. And we know the anti-white propaganda isn't going anywhere either. So the intensification of white identity is inevitable. It is literally inevitable. And that, according to all of the scientific polls that I referred to in the article.
Well, listen, conditions are changing. It is getting interesting, more interesting than it was 5 years ago. We don't know where it's going to go, but there is hope, and there is hope, and there is potential. And we'll be here to see it through one way or another, or die trying. Robert Wallace, thank you so much for your time tonight. We'll talk to you again very soon, my friend. And everybody else, stay tuned for the second hour coming right up.